The mountaineer, Olympic athlete and motivator Mark Ingles is with us today, a man who travels the world and sometimes drops in to see us between trips. And with Mark is a man who travels from South Auckland to be with us, the physics teacher and IT authority, Steve McCabe. Mark, good afternoon.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Actually, I don't know if you can hear it yourself, but on my headphones it sounds like a blizzard. One of the ones
I thought you were putting the storm on just for me, actually.
One of the ones you've been through
exactly.
On the high mountains. So we'll sort that out.
I was feeling very at home. Thank you.
You're home for a few weeks, are you?
Yeah, home for a few weeks. It's head back to India again late in November. A few jobs in Australia, but it's been a pretty intense time up till now.
Yeah, it's going well in India, though, because you're encountering very willing audiences there, aren't you?
Yeah, no, very willing, and it's very, very diverse as well, just a combination of corporate work, plus started working with quite a few charities over there now, and also with some of the schools, which is very interesting. So, yeah, a wee bit of everything, but as always, working with India, as many people in New Zealand that know, is always a real challenge, so there's always something new around the corner, so it certainly keeps you on your toes anyway, even if you don't have any.
You said it was a lovely day in Hammer Springs today, but you've had quite variable weather, haven't you?
Oh, everything. You know, it's, you know, we've had 26, 27 degrees, and then the next day down to 2. Last couple of days, the snow's come down right down low. I think we woke up to just over 2 degrees this morning, but it's probably up to 24, 25 now. And so it's that time of year. It makes me very glad that I'm not in charge of a whole bunch of grapes at the moment.
But a lovely day in Hammer. Okay. Mark Ingles is with us. Steve McCabe, a busy time for you because of school.
Indeed, it's that time of year again for us. It's that time of year when all we can think about really is the school holidays rolling up very shortly. It's what keeps us going. But it's also the time when the senior kids, the year 11 and the 12 and the 13s, are about to go off on study leave for their exams, the ones who are actually doing external exams. But it means they're scrambling frantically to finish every last internal assessment that they can. And you think, OK, if they're willing to work this hard right now, why couldn't they have worked a little bit during the course of the year as well? But obviously, you know, they're teenagers. They don't think like that. And then suddenly it's, well, can we come in after school? Can we come in at an interval? Can we come in? OK, fine, let's get you all boxed off. Let's get you done. But the problem is, unfortunately, increasingly, all these NCA standards, and any parent who's listening to this will know what I'm talking about, all these standards that the kids have to complete are increasingly becoming internally assessed standards, which means that increasingly, instead of the kids doing exams at the end of the year, they then go off to, I guess, Wellington or somewhere to get marked externally. Increasingly, it's teachers who have to set the exams, mark the exams, double mark the exams, handle the paperwork increasingly. And obviously, these great friends at QA, because they don't have to pay to have them marked externally, just jump it on the teachers, just drop it on us, because we don't work hard enough as it is. Give us a bit more work to do.
Well, I was suggesting you add lunch and dinner to the breakfasts as well. That would keep you occupied more.
Oh, we
thought of that?
No. yeah. I'm a physics teacher. I still can't figure out how to get more than 24 hours in a day.
Steve McCabe. Mark Ingles, the American elections, the polls, of course, have begun closing. And results from states, we've been bringing you some of the swing state results. But, of course, other results we don't have yet. The ones we do have are interesting. Barack Obama and Mitt Romney have each taken several states. There have been several surprises. No final figures from some of those critical swing states, but it's getting close, for example, in Florida. And Mr. Obama, out of interest, won Michigan, a swing state where Mr. Romney's father was governor. And the polls are still saying a neck and neck race. Maybe, if you wanted to put a bet on at this late stage, a slender lead to the president in some of these crucial areas. But it's not just crucial states, it's crucial suburbs, crucial districts. And that, of course, has been what's been engrossing both campaigns. Your impressions so far, before we go to John Diaz, who'll join us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Mark, how's it looking to you? What impressions have you got?
Oh, I mean, ultra close, you know, and it's really interesting to see some of the way people are trying to predict it. You know, I like that's the work that Nate Silver was doing, but it's the one thing I haven't heard of and hasn't really been reported in what I've been listening. So what about those really big ones, you know, like California? Is it because it's too early in the counting, or is it assumed that most of their votes are going to Obama or to whoever? What's the story with them, you know? Because we've got over half of them likely to be in now, and once those big ones, they, you know, they start making a big impression on what we've got left.
On the popular vote, they do, yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't. The funny fact is, and we'll discuss this with David Farah at some stage soon, it doesn't matter who carries Texas. You know what I mean? It's going to be Romney. So it is those crucial swing states, Virginia, Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Iowa. It's those kind of bellwether states that everybody is interested in. But you're making a valid point, because the possibility exists tonight that Romney, for example, who I think is ahead in the popular vote at this time, may, and people have been speculating about this, may carry the popular vote, but the president may retain the presidency.
Yeah.
And the discussions about that will be endless. Do you have any quick comments before we go to John?
No, I was just going to observe the fact that it is interesting that you get states like, for example, California, 55 electoral college votes, but it's a safe state. There's a lot of states that are pretty much a foregone conclusion. They're not going to go anywhere, because most voting habits in the US are deeply entrenched. That, for example, like you said, Texas is only ever going to go one way. It's not going to ever going to go Democratic. There's very, very little variation every year.
John Diaz from the San Francisco Chronicle, kindly joining the panel, as he will later on the hour as well. John, hello.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Oh, it's very nice to have you on. We've been characterizing the race through the afternoon, our time, as neck and neck. You look at Florida, for example, the fact that Romney's taking Virginia, Ohio, Obama, but closing at last count, Pennsylvania, Obama as well. But it's an interesting mixture of results, and I'm wondering if you think, John, that any kind of trend is emerging.
Well, interestingly, Jim, I would say the surprise of this election so far and these returns that we've seen is the lack of surprises. Usually about this time of night, there's been one state that's gone one way or another, or there might be a wave of support for a candidate that people really didn't anticipate. What the polls predicted is exactly what's happening tonight. We have some excruciatingly tight individual state races, as well as it being tight nationally. I would say I have talked to folks from both the campaigns right now this evening. I think the Obama folks tend to be feeling a little bit better right now because of the lack of surprises. I think most of the people who looked at the election, at least on the Electoral College, which is how we elect presidents in this country, thought that it tilted Obama. So as long as we stay with no surprises, President Obama's in pretty good shape. But at the same time, there are some races that are just way too close to call right now, including those all too critical states of Florida, Virginia, and Ohio.
Okay, tilting Obama. But in Florida, those counties and precincts still to report and have their votes counted, are they likely to save Romney, who is slightly behind in the vote, although it's close in Florida? What's your opinion of that, John?
Well, we don't have exact numbers on what's still out. We know that there are a number of votes still to be tallied in what's called the Florida Panhandle, which is really more kind of like the southern United States than Florida, which tends to be more more moderate, more centrist in many ways. There's also a fair chunk of votes in Miami-Dade area, which tends to be more Democratic. So it's really impossible to call at this point. But what's interesting is Florida's pretty much a state that Mitt Romney had to win in order to win the presidency, whereas for Barack Obama, it would be a huge pickup for him to win in Florida, but not as critical as it is for Romney.
But we're talking about the Florida Panhandle here, but surely apart from places like Tallahassee, it's a fairly sparsely populated part of the state as compared to, say, Miami-Dade down south, which is both very, very densely populated and also largely the Hispanic and Cuban populations, which, are, as I understand it, are likely to go Democratic, correct?
Well, generally likely to go Democratic, but interestingly, there are still, particularly with a fair number of immigrants or refugees, if you will, from Cuba, there's still some conservative factions within the Cuban community, the Cuban American community. Interestingly, although if you look nationally at Latinos, they're very overwhelmingly Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
In South Florida, it's not always quite the case because you have such strong anti-Castro sentiment from people who have come from Cuba.
It's funny how it's come down to Florida again. CNN, I notice, John, is saying that the only story of the night is Florida. And I know you're saying there are no surprises, but Virginia, so closely mirrored the national vote last time. I think Obama got 52.9%, and it was almost exactly what he got nationally. And I think that people thought Virginia might be the mirror state. But Romney looks to be carrying Virginia, or has it got closer?
It is close. Virginia still is very close. But again, even though President Obama carried that state in 2008, everyone fully anticipated that that would be a much closer election this time around, as it is proving to be, because Virginia is one of those states that's traditionally very conservative. In fact, it was very it was really a watershed in 2008 when Barack Obama carried Virginia.
When you come back later on, I might ask you, because I know you've got some fairly strong opinions and you've written editorials about them, about the Electoral College system. Do you think that we might see a situation tonight where Obama seems to have, well, I think CNN describes it as the path to the White House is at this point easier for Obama than Romney. Can we see a situation, without being too speculative, where Romney gets the popular vote tonight, but Obama triumphs with the Electoral College?
I think that is entirely plausible. Whether it's likely or not, I think it's a little too early to tell, but it's very plausible that we may have that situation, which we also had in 2000 when Al Gore received 500,000 more votes nationwide than George W. Bush, but George W. Bush won the Electoral College and thus the election. The interesting thing about it, Jim, is in this country, I always grew up wondering, I wonder if that would ever happen in my lifetime, because it had not happened since 1824 until the year 2000. We're looking at the very real possibility that will happen twice within 12 years. And I think that it has a couple of consequences. One is I think it's going to make it much tougher for Barack Obama to govern. We already know from the results so far that he's going to have a Republican House of Representatives, and if he in the U.S. Senate is Democratic, if that does happen, I think we're going to see we have the prospect of a lot more gridlock and partisan polarization in Washington. I think it's going to be a real challenge for whichever president would come out of that situation, which at this point, I would say it would be more likely, if we do have a split verdict between the popular and electoral, it would be Barack Obama winning the electoral and Mitt Romney winning the popular vote.
All right. Thank you.
Very interesting.
Thank you, John. And we'll look forward to talking to you again in about half an hour's time. It is very interesting. Virginia, by the way, 51-48 for Romney at the moment. Ohio taking Obama taking Ohio, but it's closing. And Florida, as we keep saying, a little too close to call. Joining us to discuss polling, which has become the big issue, especially for the media in this election, you mentioned Nate Silver, or someone did, is the owner of Curia Market Research and political commentator David Farah. David's at the US Embassy election function on the Wellington waterfront. Hello.
Good afternoon from Chicago. That's the bar, not the state.
Yes, well, I hope you're having a good time. I'm sure you are. As Ohio goes, so goes America. Is that true tonight, do you think, over there, David?
Largely true, but not entirely. Because Florida's so close, it's possible that Obama could lose Ohio and win Florida, in which case he'd be fine. He only needs one of those two states. Romney needs both of them, and I can't see that the margin in Ohio is small enough for it to close. It has been closing, but he's got a pretty big lead there in Ohio.
As a pollster, to what extent Have the polls got it right this time? People like Nate Silver, who's become, he's the 538 blogger in America, and his projections are keenly listened to, and the last of his before the election had Obama at 92% likelihood of retaining the presidency. David, how good have the polls been, do you think?
Look, so far they seem to have been pretty good. It's a bit too early in the night to say for sure, but I haven't seen any results which are so way outside what the polls were saying. And I'm glad you mentioned Nate Silver, because I just want to speak briefly, because he does a bit more than just average the polls. But there's a few sites who do that. I do that in New Zealand. He does three extra things, which I think are why a lot of people follow him. The first is he accounts for what you call in-house bias. So if he's a company that always has the Republicans doing better than they actually do, he takes that into account. He also puts into his model, or he's a professional statistical analysis, economic data, because history shows you that if the unemployment rate's so high or economic growth so low, it affects the chance of the president being reelected. And he also uses historical voting data, how consistently does the state vote Democrat, Republican. So he's actually got quite a sophisticated model. Not infallible, because you only look at the data you go in. Polls do turn out to be inaccurate, his projection's not going to be that good. But at this stage, you know, you have to say, you know, my best pick, but there's still two big states to come in, is Obama may end up with around 300 electoral votes, and Nate Silver had him at around 310. Most of the other sites that average the polls also had it around 290, 300. So at this stage, no major upset. But there are a couple of individual states, like if Florida does go Obama, that's a bit of an upset, because Romney did have a pretty solid lead there for the last week. But, you know, the lead was only 2 to 3%, and that has margin of error territory. The upsets are when something moves by more than that 3% margin of error.
Although it's being claimed by some pundits in America now that the micro-analysis of Florida shows that it will go to Obama, that's obviously not a given. If Romney takes both Florida and Virginia, he is probably looking quite good late in the night over there, isn't he?
I think he's looking very good in Virginia, and actually his margin there has been perhaps higher than some have expected.
Yeah.
But he needs... In fact, he needs Florida and Ohio. That gets him within 3 votes. He then needs one other state. And Colorado was on the polls his best bet, but that's looking pretty good for Obama now. So, you know, no one wants to call it yet, but let's just say there are multiple paths for Obama, and it's actually getting pretty difficult to see a way through for Romney.
Just the latest result from Colorado, while you've been talking about that, Romney 51, Obama 47.
Wow, so, Colorado, that's a change.
No, I've made a mistake. I heard it wrong. The president on 51 in Colorado and Romney 47.
You're worrying, is that?
Yeah.
I was worrying for a second there.
Yeah, so that's 9 electoral votes there, et cetera. So like I say, there's not a lot of options for Romney there. And if he ended up losing Florida and Ohio, you know, Obama's margin, in fact, won't be too much less than 2008 when he got around 330, I think it was 334 electoral votes. My best pick at the moment is Obama could well get a number starting with a 3.
All right. Thank you very much, David Farah. Enjoy Chicago, where I'm sure you're having a good time. 26 past 4 o'clock. Obama, just before the voting closed at his last appearance, we know what change looks like and what Mr. Romney is selling isn't it. I know what real change looks like because I have fought for it. You see the scars I have earned for it, and you see the grey hairs on my head. Although he had, I must point out, previously denied the grey hairs were caused by stress, saying it was early greyness he inherited from his father, along with dreams that people say haven't come true. How do you think he's done, Obama? How well has he sold it?
Well, he's done his very best to sell it, but the problem is, in America, this is my experience from when I was living there, is that Americans love politicians who can talk. They want somebody who they can see to be one of their own kind. It's one of the things you used to say about George W. Bush. Even though a large perception said he was as thick as two short planks. People said, yeah, but you could have a beer with him, couldn't you? The problem with Obama is, even though he's clearly a fantastically brilliant man, he's cold and he's distant and he's aloof in many ways. His manner is somewhat detached. That's just how he comes across. And as a result, there is a perception in the US that he's not very approachable. And that seems to carry a lot of weight, unfortunately.
He's been unable, is it fair to say, to breach that great divide in US politics because of that detachment.
He does not ooze charisma.
Could anyone breach it?
I think one of the things
though?
that Steve brought up just now is that there's a real discrepancy from what we see when we look in and our attitudes to what the average American sees when they're looking at their politicians. And quite often we take our ideas and our ideals and our experiences with politicians, and sometimes it just doesn't fit with America. And that's why I think outside of America, everyone loves Obama, but inside, it's as we're seeing today, it's a much closer race.
Does it really matter in some respects who wins? I mean, is Romney going to be able to breach that divide? Is either candidate or president going to be able to do much about, you know, the fiscal cliff, which they seem to be motoring towards at a rate of knots?
No.
Trillions and trillions of dollars of debt now.
One thing we forget outside of the US, because we live in a country here that has a parliamentary system with a prime minister who very much sets the agenda, the president has relatively little actual authority in terms of, if I understand it correctly, the president can't introduce legislation into Congress, for example. He gets power of veto, he has to sign bills that are sent to him, but he doesn't actually get to introduce legislation. He can't initiate it. He does get to, in large way, guide policy, but he actually has less actual power than we imagine. He doesn't simply sit there in the Oval Office ruling the country with a stroke of his pen. Mm. He's very much at the mercy of Congress. And when you've got a Congress that isn't at his beck and call, as I'm sure every president would like it to be, then he is to a certain degree neutered, yes.
And what can either man do? I mean, tax increases, spending cuts. Options are very limited, especially in the environment you're describing.
Yeah, and again, these are not things that he actually gets to dictate. He can guide and influence and try to use a bit of his clout, because let's face it, he's the president. But ultimately, he's only the president.
Steve McCabe, thank you. Mark Ingalls with Steve on the panel. More American politics and other subjects as we have time for them. 4:30, Warwick Burke with the news headlines.